Those were protests this week in Wisconsin and Michigan as Republicans aggressively tried to limit the powers of incoming Democratic governors.
Listen, I'm concerned. I think that Governor-elect Evers is going to bring a liberal agenda to Wisconsin.
Republicans in Wisconsin and Michigan will still have the majority in both state legislatures, but they're using these lame duck periods in both of those states to make legislative changes that could severely limit the power of the governorship. We saw similar moves in North Carolina 2 years ago.
What's extraordinary about this lame duck session is the Republican strategy is so obvious, and they're not making any effort to hide their partisanship here.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, a look at what these partisan moves mean for our democracy. To learn more about what's going on in these lame duck sessions, I spoke with Esther Fuchs, a professor of political science at Columbia University, and Tara Golshan, a political reporter for Vox.
They are anticipating a Democratic leadership team coming in January in Wisconsin and Michigan. And just on Wednesday morning, the Senate in Wisconsin passed a sweeping proposal that would curb a lot of the powers of not only the incoming governor, but also the attorney general. And the same goes in Michigan, where, again, a completely Democratic team of governors, attorney general, and secretary of state will be coming in, and they have proposals that would curb the powers of all three of them.
And what are some of the proposals, Tara, that the Republicans voted on in Michigan?
So they're still up for debate. They haven't voted on all of them in Michigan, but some of the proposals include things that would let the Republican-led state legislature intervene in cases around state laws that the attorney general might not want to defend. For example, in Michigan, there is a legal battle around a law that allows faith-based adoption services to not work with same-sex couples that the incoming attorney general has said she might not want to defend. So those are the kinds of things that the Republican-led legislature could then intervene in. There are also changes to the new gerrymandering constitutional amendment that passed in Michigan in a ballot initiative that they would make the rules around identification a little bit stronger. There's just a slew of changes there.
And what about in Wisconsin, Tara?
In Wisconsin, Republicans have been very proactive negotiating all night to now pass bills that would really undermine the role of the attorney general, require legislative oversight if the attorney general wants to withdraw from any legal cases. For example, the federal case about the Affordable Care Act, which the incoming attorney general has said he would like to remove Wisconsin from. It would also require legislative oversight for different appointments to state agencies and generally the governor's power over state agencies, like the job development agency that the incoming governor said that he would like to get rid of, that would be essentially blocked by a Republican legislature, and just changes around welfare and health care, all of these policies that Tony Evers, a Democrat, campaigned and won on, could really be blocked by a Republican-led legislature.
Esther, can you help us make sense of what the Republican strategy is in both of these states? What are they trying to do during their lame duck sessions?
Well, what's extraordinary about this lame duck session is the Republican strategy is so obvious, and they're not making any effort to hide their partisanship here. It's really a blatant power grab. It's designed to strip executive authority and move it over to the legislature, and it's clearly partisan. And I would say, doing this after an election really subverts the will of the voters. It's anti-democratic, small d.
Tara, what are some of the broader implications that you're seeing coming out of what we're seeing in both Michigan and Wisconsin?
I mean, you're really seeing an election that handily gave Democrats the chance to lead in these states, especially in the case of Michigan, with very clear political platforms and policy ideas, and Republican-led legislatures saying, no, we don't want that to happen. We don't want to reverse this legacy that we have established over the greater part of a decade in our states. And we're going to do everything we can to block that from happening. And I will say also in Wisconsin, they're passing a proposal that would cut down early voting and limit it to 2 weeks. Right now, it's up to the discretion of different regions of the state to establish how many days of early voting. So this would create some, they say, uniformity. But it would also limit early voting in some cases. And that is another attempt to really kind of rein in the voices that are being heard in elections.
And Esther, what does this tell us, I mean, really about our democracy here? You know, if those who have been elected have their powers reduced by the incumbent opposing party, what does that tell us about the institution of democracy here in the United States?
We are in big trouble. I say that not lightly. The whole basis and legitimacy of democratic governments really depend on elections because we're a representative democracy. And to the extent that the public thinks that elections were not fair and that the outcomes of elections can be subverted by the outgoing political party, you know, they lose faith in the democratic process. I mean, we've seen an assault on all of our institutions of democracy going on for, it is over a decade now. I mean, what we have in Wisconsin is really part of the legacy of their redistricting, their gerrymandering, and their efforts essentially to make it difficult for Democrats to win legislative seats. It's kind of amazing that in Wisconsin, Democrats won 54% of the vote, but were only able to pick up one legislative seat. And this is endemic all across the United States in places where Republicans have had the opportunity to redistrict. And of course, that happens at the state level. So we're seeing another example of an effort essentially to subvert the will of the people. And this can't go on. I mean, this has to have both the courts resolve these issues in favor of the people. And the legislature in this instance is really not representing the will of the people, which is kind of ironic when you think about it, since they're district-based. They are really going after our fundamental institutions of democratic governance.
Esther, I also want to bring in an additional layer here. We are also going to be looking specifically at the state of Wisconsin and its treatment of Black Americans, its Black constituents, which has been abysmal, quite frankly. And I look at these states and I look at Wisconsin, North Carolina, we mentioned Michigan. These are states that also have significant Black populations that have been gerrymandered as well. What does this tell us about how race has played into the political landscape here?
Well, one of the interesting examples, of course, is always when you reduce the power of cities, you're generally reducing the power of minorities, African Americans, and Latino voters, because populations are concentrated in cities. And so these state legislatures and the previous Republican governors have been essentially taking away power from their cities and also changing laws as it relates to union representation. You know, we know about the contentious battles that existed both in Michigan and Wisconsin over union representation. And of course, a lot of African Americans, particularly road into the middle class, has been through civil service and through municipal work. And when you reduce the power of the unions, you reduce wages and benefits of both whites and African Americans, but especially African Americans in the Midwest states. And when you combine that with the gerrymandered districting that compresses African American and Latino populations into one, two, maybe three districts and reduces their impact to influence elections for legislative districts and the presidency, you're really finding a situation in which the Republican Party is once again increasing the racial divide in this country and hurting Black and African American and Latino populations.
Esther Fuchs is a professor of political science at Columbia University, and Tara Golshan is a political reporter for Vox. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.